James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, 1230. WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Arts Expert. Sorry, obviously there's a lot to talk about, and we will do that. No, it is not a victory Monday, but it's going to be a breakdown Monday because we've got plenty to break down. I know you guys all watch the game. I watch the game. I know you've got a lot of questions. Well, don't worry. I'm going to answer your questions for sure, but I'm going to go into an extensive breakdown. I'm going to talk about what transpired in this game. A lot of what we talked about last week ended up coming to fruition. And obviously, that's not a good thing, but I'm not going to sit here and be that guy and talk about, oh, well, I told you. Listen, it's my job to be an analyst and put these things out there. People were getting frustrated that I was talking about the Oklahoma defense. Well, there's a reason I was doing that, and we'll dive more into that here in a minute. But here's the good news. Chase and Reed, who are behind the glass, here's the good news, guys, for you guys and all the listeners out there, all the Alabama fans. While we did suffer a loss Saturday, I'm here to talk everybody off the ledge like I was doing on the post-game show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. While it was not a great game, while it was a pretty ugly game, really across the board outside of the defense, and yes, we lost, the fact is all our goals are still in front of us. Everything is still attainable. That includes the SEC championship. That includes the national championship playoff picture, all that good stuff. So while it is frustrating, I know for a lot of you guys out there, just understand that it is what it is. It's our first conference loss. We're still very much in play. Do we have a lot of stuff we need to work on and get better at? You're damn right we do. That's why I've been harping on over the last few weeks. It's not to sound like Debbie Downers here on this show. It's because we're realists. We don't pump sunshine. We talk about what's actually happening. And that's why we said all the things that we weren't doing great over the last few weeks, at least on the offense side of things, could eventually come back to bite you. And that's pretty much what ended up happening in this game, even though the real story of this game boils down to several main things, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But again, everybody's got to just relax a little bit. We're going to take today to discuss it. We're going to break it down. I've got plenty of tape. I got the all 22. I'll pull it up. I've got several plays, some specific plays that I want to show everybody. Then if there's anything that you guys, I know I put a tweet out just in case we were going to go live yesterday, but I figured we'd save it for today. If there's anything you guys want us to discuss or take a look at on the tape, let me know and we can pull it up. I know some people wanted to talk about the running game or the offensive line and several other things. Let me know here on the chat on YouTube at the Miller's Edge. You always can check us out. It's completely free. All we ask is you drop a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Plus, you can always follow us on social media. I've been posting a lot of cut-ups on Twitter/X. So if you guys like that stuff, like the quick little one play breakdowns. Now, again, there's only so many characters I can use to tweet. So if it seems like I miss something or I leave something out, I promise you I'm covering it. The problem is I only have so many letters or words I can use on the tweet, but just know you can follow us at the Miller's Edge on X. And I'm starting to do that a lot more too. Kind of just, you know, specific plays in the game. So I'll pull those up for sure. Then some other stuff. And we don't get any, there's some things we don't get to today. We can always stay for overtime if there's enough people hanging around that want us to continue to break down the tape and all that good stuff. You guys know how we like to roll. Plus, we always like to tell you about our good friends over at the Good Feet Store. Remember, they're doing the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is where you can sign up. They did it again this past weekend. They should be doing it again this weekend, another home game, last home game. So make sure you guys sign up, GoodFeetKickForCash.com. All that is required is your name and your email address. Very simple process. Sign up if you get selected. Well, you end up getting a chance to go kick some field goals for some free money. And if you don't make any of them, don't worry. You still walk away with the free gift bag from the Good Feet Store. And also, if you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, They will help you out with their premium arch supports that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain over at the Good Feet store. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Go and give them a shot. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa, but they are nationwide. Go to their website, goodfeet.com, where you can schedule an appointment and find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Chase Reed, now I know we got a couple minutes here, but we'll probably hit an early break. But I've got plenty to say. Let me just check in with you guys, man. I know Reed was catching a flight, trying to get back. Chase, I know you were around Washington. Everything good on y'all's end? Sun came up. Everything's still good, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, there's no, you know, what I've learned is, okay, especially after the Florida State loss, you can't, like, continue to doubt your team after one loss, okay? Well, now it's two losses. But, like, you just got to bring the good energy and good vibes. And, like, I always try to be optimistic, you know? At least that's what I try to be. But the overall fan base, I don't think this hit them as bad as Florida State. I guess I could say that.
It depends. In some aspects, probably not so much. I agree with you. But I think a lot of people were frustrated with the fashion of which we lost, right? I mean, it was a very sloppy game in two of the three phases, right? And I don't want to jump too far ahead because I've got plenty to break down. But let's just call a spade. And I think we all can agree on this. There's not much of a breakdown needed to say this. Defense continues to shine. They continue to have stellar performances and do what they need to do to win football games, right? I mean, there's literally only one knock on the defense that I have, and I'll get to that in a minute. And if that's the only knock that I can come up with, that means you played a damn good game, right? That's just, you know, be like from a coaching perspective, this is what they're going to say. It's not me being overly critical. It's just, and when you hear it, you're like, okay, I got you. Outside of that, I mean, special teams, it was horrendous. I mean, let's just be honest. In offense, continued their sloppy play and it finally caught up to us. You know, we always talk about the running game, right? And while I said, yes, those extensions of the running game are good and they help you out, you still need to find a way to have a true running game because you don't want to be one-dimensional. And when you become one-dimensional and you're playing a really talented defense who throws a lot at you, they start pinning their ears back. They start calling their design, you know, blitz packages and things like that. And then you start struggling in the passing game, which you were at least pretty damn good at. And now you don't really know what to do because now you're kind of in a frenzy because you can't run the football. Your passing game's not where it typically is, and you're in trouble. So that's kind of a lot of what we saw. Then we all know turnovers really was like the biggest storyline, and I'm going to get into all that. But first, we're going to take our first time out. We're going to do it a couple minutes early because when we come back, I'll give you my breakdown. I'll get into the tape a little bit later. But for right now, I got all my keys and things from this game that we ended up seeing and what I took away from it. I've rewatched the game. I watched our offense. I watched our defense, and I got some guys to highlight on defense. There's a couple guys that are playing their asses off. Even though defense as a whole played really good, but there's a couple guys that I want to give some credit to because they just kept flashing on the tape. Then offensively, I'll talk about some of the struggles that we had in this game. And I also want to tip my hat to Oklahoma. I know sometimes people, they see my tweets and they're like, oh, well, why are you highlighting what Oklahoma did? Well, again, I'm objective, and when I see good defense, I give credit where it's due. There's some things that they were doing, man. Brent Venables, you just got to tip your hat to him, man. He called a really good game, and they executed, right? It's the way they play with such intensity. They take on the persona of him. If you just listen to him do an interview, you know what I'm talking about. Then they go out there and execute really well, not just with the blitzes themselves, but even what they do on the back end, and that was one of my main keys, and that's why I talked about that. Right? How would we be able to manage and handle those different looks and those late disguises and things like that? And while we did throw the ball decent in this game, a lot of it did actually come from underneath more shallow intermediate type routes and a lot of yard after catch. That said, they did what they needed to do when it mattered. I think some people are getting too caught up in the numbers. They're saying, oh, well, we had 400 yards. Yeah, we did. But if you look at how we got those 400 yards and what they ultimately did when they needed to make things happen, you got to sum that up to good defense on their part. And I just have no problem giving credit where credit is due. That said, that's another reason not to be so upset, right? I mean, they were the number 11th ranked team, which I tried to tell you they had one of the best defenses in the country. Losing this game is not the end of the world by any means. And the fact that we played as sloppy as we did and only lost by 2 points to a talented team like that, I think is, if you want to look for some of the positive perspectives here, that's definitely one of the things that you can take away from it. As frustrating as that game was, You lost to a very talented team by 2 points, playing one of your sloppiest games of the year. So we'll build on all of this stuff when we come back after this quick timeout. You listen to the Miller's Edge. Tune into the stream at the Miller's Edge. We got tape, we got video, we got a comment section that's blowing up. Come hang out with us, all the good stuff.
The Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. All right, it's time, guys. What do you say? We get into this breakdown now. I mean, I might run out of breath to read. You might have to pick up for a minute, but I'm going to get into it. I'm going to mention some points. I'm going to try to go down the list, but there's a lot of things to get into, so I'm going to try to do my best to hit everything. But I will say this, though. We want to hear from you guys, 205-342-9904, so make sure you guys are ready to respond. I'm going to spend this next segment, though, with my breakdown. And plus, we will get to some tape here in a minute. I've got it already loaded and ready to go. I'll just put it right here. I'm not going to play it right now because I can't just let it run. I wish I could. But once I'm finished, we'll dive into that. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. This is what I've got. We expected a defensive battle. At least I did. That was going in this game what I thought what would happen. You had Oklahoma, top defense in the country, Alabama's defense playing some of the best ball that they've been playing. I thought we would go into this game and it would be one of those things where it would be a lot of back and forth. I mean, you look at Oklahoma and their offense, I'll say this. I mean, they've been playing better. Last 2 weeks they had Robinson, they're playing him 100 yards a game last 2 weeks, finding a little bit more of a rhythm offensively. John Mateer, get him a little bit closer to what he was before the injury, but still, I viewed this game, and I talked about this, kind of how it ended up going. I thought it was going to be a lot of good defense, but it would ultimately come down to which offense could make plays or step up when it mattered most in those critical moments, especially towards the end. And that's literally how this game ended up going. However, I envisioned us being in a position like we ended up being, having the ball, being able to march down and hopefully put some points on the board, like we've seen us do, right? South Carolina, we caught a lucky break because of the fumble, right? We get the ball back, we're able to score, then we know how that went. And even like, you know, Missouri, you know, some of those closer games that we've had, but this game was different. And I said last week, I've been preaching, it's only a matter of time, guys, right? I mean, there's only a matter of time, I mean, until some of these things come back to bite you, whether that's a lack of running game, whether that's, you know, slow second half starts, some of these turnovers. It's only a matter of time, guys. And that's why I kept saying, especially going into this game, the reason that this Oklahoma game concerned me, and I labeled it as our most difficult challenge remaining, was because they were probably one of the most balanced teams we had seen. Even though their offense was nothing to really run home about, they're good enough to put some points on the board. But I knew with their defense and what they've been doing defensively and what we have been recently offensively, that it was going to be an issue. Did I expect us to still have some good in the game and overcome it? Yes, I did. However, I fully expected the challenges. That's why when I was met with people saying that they expected us to go out there and roll over these guys, I did not see that. Why? Because I watched the tape and I don't just go off the numbers where they're ranked. I'm watching them. And, you know, they play like that defensively without their best player, R. Mason Thomas. Right? And I think they're missing a cornerback too. They just do a lot of things that are tough, man. They do it at a really high level. And I talked about last week, the way they disguise, the way they bring pressure. You know, and one of the craziest things is, if you really watch them, they run a lot of simulated pressures, which if you guys don't know what that is, it's when you're showing pressure, you're showing like you're bringing, you know, six guys, crowding line of scrimmage, a lot of movement. But then you end up really only bringing like four guys. Guys are popping out, cutting receivers. And it really just confuses, you know, an offense, because, you know, they're thinking they're getting pressure here. It ends up coming the other way and they're trapping guy. I mean, it's very difficult, right? But it's typically seen on third down. These guys run simulators on first down. Matter of fact, that interception tied through that pick six was a simulated pressure on first down. I mean, it's nasty stuff. And then when I show you guys just how really solid of an execution that they had, Just really impressive stuff from a defensive effort. Again, I know you guys don't want to hear me talk about their defense like that, but I'm sorry, man. I respect good defensive play. I'm a defensive guy. That said, it definitely was a big defensive heavyweight fight. I agree 100%. But what this game really boiled down to was the turnovers. Now, our turnover margin, I think we're like fourth in the country. We have been about as good as it gets. I think we're like plus 10 going into the game. And that's in large in part due to all the turnovers we forced on defense, but also Ty being clean with the football through the air. He had only one interception going into this game. But he did, if you consider the fumbles, I think it's, what, four or five straight games with a strip sack. Now, I always want to put a lot of that on the guys up front who are supposed to protect, but it gets to a point where Ty's got to have better ball security, right? Whether it's feeling that sack the best that he can. I know it's not, and it's easier said than done. When you have, you know, somebody coming out of your periphery and you just don't see it, it's not easy to do, but we have to find a way to hold on to those footballs because those turnovers are starting to catch up. But Oklahoma had 17 points off of three turnovers. We ended up being -3 in this game. We didn't force a single turnover on defense, and that's my only knock for our defense as well as we played. We've got to find a way to come up with the football. And I know it sounds like I'm being overly critical, but I promise you, and I'm willing to bet however much money you want to put up, Kane Womack and that defense staff is harping on that. Good is not good enough. As good as we play, we've got to find a way to come up with those. And you'll see the turnovers are there. We had opportunities, but we ended up dropping some interceptions and whatnot. So that would literally be the only knock for the defense. So I guess I'll get that out the way, and I'll piggyback off of that in a minute. But continuing with the offense, the keys for me in this game, keeping Ty clean. The offensive line relatively did that pretty good. Believe it or not, two of the sacks, if I'm not mistaken, were from the backs. One, I know for a fact, two actually for sure. Jam earlier in the game, and I'll pull it up here in a minute. He completely whiffed on pass pro, ended up being in the sack. Oklahoma blitzed their linebacker, ended up making the play. And then later in the game, Daniel Hill got blown up by a 180-something pound cornerback. Can't happen when you're 240 pounds. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that. And that was a critical moment in the game as well. And I can't remember what the other one was. They blitzed 10. Who 10, their linebacker, Kip Lewis, whatever his name is. I mean, he made himself a lot of money. I mean, he was playing with his hair on fire. Two sacks, seven tackles, all solos. I mean, he was a huge piece for that defense alongside Bowen, 32, who had that pick six, a really good safety. But I said we had to keep Ty clean. We somewhat did that. But when it came to those blitzes, which they blitzed us about 62% of the time, right, we weren't as great there. And not all that was on the offensive line. So I know a lot of people immediately jumped to those guys. In pass pro, they weren't terrible, right? In the running game, they weren't terrible either. I think some people are overreacting a little bit to the 80 yards. 28 of those yards came from one run where we had the numbers game right. They loaded the right side. They only had one guy on the line and like two guys off the ball. So it's like a 4-on-3 situation. When we ran, it's like with Daniel Hill, he ends up bouncing outside for 28. You take that away, we really rushed for like 52. So I know some people think, the running game was better this game. Maybe a tiny bit, but it's not as good as you guys might have initially thought just by looking at the 80 yards there. I will say, for a team as good as Oklahoma is at stopping the run, I'll take it, but it's not good enough. And here's one of the reasons why I say that. When it's third and short, fourth and short, and we have to continuously do gimmick plays, we don't trust that we can just run behind the tackles, in between, you know, the tackles to pick up a yard. We have to do the fake quarterback is mad, direct snap to the running back. We have to do the end around, faking the Krispy Kreme package. That's not ideal. That, to me, proves that we don't have faith in just lining up mano a mano and picking up 1 yard. And that's a problem, especially when you have linemen, you know, as big as we do. And that's why, again, you got to be careful with these numbers. I mean, like when everybody was saying we had the #1 offensive line in the country preseason, respectfully, again, it's just me being honest, I didn't see that. That shouldn't be that hard to pick up. So I will say I do think Daniel Hill, a lot of people asked me this on the postgame show, my thoughts on him. Is he running back one now? I think right now he's got the hot hand. I think he's the better back. But ironically, a lot of people are complaining about Jam getting those late carries in the game. I watched the tape again. Jam actually had some good runs late in the game when he was in there. I think Daniel Hill got a little banged up on one of those carries he had later in the game. But I'll just say this. It's still the same theme. I went and paid attention to the running game. It's a number of things, right? Backs not hitting the right spots several times. Linemen not climbing correctly, not getting their head across. All the same issues I've talked about. It's all these little details, guys. It's always one guy not getting enough push here or there. I mean, it's not like it's literally, there's so many different things that keep coming up. I know some people, you know, label it a mentality thing, but I'm kind of split between Ty and Ryan Grubb. Because one said mentality, the other said more, you know, just executing. I think it's both, right? Because it starts with the mentality. Like, you should have the mentality, like, I'm going to go blow somebody up right here. Like, running the football is about having attitude. It's literally like, we're lining up and we know what we're about to do. They don't know what we're about to do. We should be able to go impose our wills on these guys and go drive their ass off the football. We're not seeing that consistently, right? Or at least you see some guys do it than other guys not. That's a problem. So I think it's a little bit of both. But I'll say this again. Ty, here's his numbers right here. I know a lot of people were definitely on him. Was it his best game? No. Wasn't a great game by any means. But it wasn't as bad as a lot of people are making it seem. I know I put that tweet about the misread in the end zone, and I'll show you guys a little bit later. We get the mismatch that we won. You got Jeremy, it's great play design. You got Jeremy Bernard in the backfield. This is why you do that, because you know you're getting a mismatch. Because typically when he's in that backfield spot, you're expecting him to either be matched up on a linebacker, or in this case, it was a defensive end. It literally was a defensive end on your best wide receiver. It's what you want. Ty tries to force it to Isaiah Horton and ends up, you know, being an incomplete pass, which some people, and I think like college football nerds, I don't know why they're trying to respond. Anyway, they're saying, oh, well, you know, it could have been a touchdown. Yeah, could have, would have, should have. That's not the read. Football is a game about matchups. When your best receiver is lined up with a defensive end on him and he completely beats him on the angle route, he had him wide open, and that's why Jeremy was yelling at Ty after the play. And to be fair, yes, Horton slowed down. You know why Horton slowed down? Because he was completely covered. I mean, the dude was glued to him. So if he caught that, it was a great catch. Like, if we had nothing else and you had to force that throw in there, that would be, yes, that would have been a great throw with good anticipation. Cool. The problem is the key word, forced. You know, you don't need to force that. You've got a backer sitting right there, and that's part of the reason Horton slowed down, because it's about to be a kill shot on him. And if you hit Jeremy Bernard right there, yeah, he would have caught it on the five, but I guarantee you he's athletic enough to make that dude miss and fall in the end zone. I'll show you guys that play in a minute. That said, Ty still wasn't as bad as a lot of people are saying. Just some little things like that, right? Can't force things. Just take what the defense gives you. We did have some misses on some things, but if you look at it, I mean, he did what he needed to do for the most part outside of those critical things, like towards later in the game that we needed in the turnovers, right? That was the biggest deal. But 28 of 42 for a touchdown, and a lot of people are trying to correct me, right, when I said he threw two interceptions. Guys, he threw two interceptions. One counts. The other one was called back. That defensive pass interference, and I can show you guys this too, had nothing to do with that intercept. The safety robbed him. The safety was going to pick that off regardless if that dude touched lots right there or not. So look, Ty was okay. Not as bad as people are saying, but definitely not great by any means. But this is what I'll say about Ty. People have to remember this also. Chase, we can combine breaks because I know I'm going over anyway. Ty has a lot on his plate. So before people are jumping on Ty, just remember this guy has a lot of pressure on him. We do not have a running game helping him out. You're asking him, you're having him throw the ball 40-something times a game. At some point, I mean, he's going to show that he's human. He can't be perfect all the time. And that's what happens when you're one-dimensional. It puts a lot of pressure. That's what, then again, go back and listen to all the shows we've done. This is why I say these things are so important. You can't expect your quarterback to be Superman every. You can't expect your defense to be lights out. That's why I kept saying at some point the defense is probably going to cave a little bit. You can't expect them to be perfect in the red zone every week. You got to play better complementary football. And that's one of our biggest issues right now. And look, I said the same thing with Jalen Milroe last year. I'm not going to get in this whole conversation because I see all these idiots online going back and forth about irrelevant things with the help. But I'm just saying it's no different with him. He caught so much flack And it's not like we were trying to, you know, make excuses, because we know how the game works. When you put too much stress on your quarterback, things are going to show up. They're going to fall short. And you're seeing that with Ty, unfortunately. I think that's why he's forcing some of this stuff, because he feels that pressure. So just keep that in mind. Like, Ty is still one of the best quarterbacks in the country, without a doubt. He's just forcing things a little bit right now. He needs to get a little bit more in a rhythm again. And I think it would help if we can establish that running game and take some pressure off of him. But some of the things that they did were good, right? Letting Ty run the football. My dad said that. If you go back and listen, he said they should let Ty have some quarterback keepers, let him run a little bit. And he did, and it was very successful. I know you want to keep him clean, but that little element, he's athletic enough to do it. I was all for that. I thought that was very smart in this game. But in terms of what I would like to see more out of Ty, not hold the ball as long, right? Know when to throw it away. Don't force things as much. Just take what the defense gives you. But ultimately, man, he just needs to just remain confident, right? He's still got it. Anybody that says different, man, they don't know what they're talking about. This he's a really good football player. He just needs a little bit more help, and he just got to, you know, get back in his rhythm. And I think he will do that, man. But we've got to find a way to not be one-dimensional. A couple more notes I have. The back struggle, we talk about that in pass pro. All of them are bad in pass pro. That's got to be fixed. Talked about OU blitzing 62% of the snaps. All four sacks did come from blitzes and the turnovers. I'll show you guys the simulated pressure here in a little bit. That's why I said last week I was wondering how he would, you know, react to seeing some of those things. Well, that pick six, I know a lot of people have the question, well, why wasn't it pass interference or illegal contact? Well, illegal contact's off the table because that's only in the NFL. That's not in college football. Pass interference is a judgment call. I think they could have called it if they wanted to, but here's the reality of it. The pass was so far off the intended spot or from the intended receiver that normally if it's a pass that's not really catchable, that's one of the criteria for not calling it or calling it. And I think they went with that. It just seemed like it wasn't catchable, and that's why they didn't call it. Could they have called it? Sure. But they didn't there. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you can't really argue with the refs, man. You're going to get some, you're going to lose some. It is what it is. One of the bright spots, I will say, on the offensive side, Quavis, he was phenomenal. I wish we would have continued trying to get the ball to him a little bit later in the game because, again, the way Oklahoma was playing, they were intentionally trying to take away a lot of the deeper concepts and giving us some of those shorter concepts. And we were, you know, having, you know, a lot of success with yards after the catch, at least earlier in the game. And that's where a lot of our yards were coming from. So that would have been nice. But that's pretty much what I got for my overall outlook on the offense. If I miss something or when we watch the tape, I'll go back to it. But really, the nature of it was the turnovers, right? There were two interceptions. One actually counted. One got called back. And then the strip sack late. It's just it. We just couldn't overcome that. And then when you're giving these guys field position like that, even though their offense is just efficient enough, all they need to do is, you know, get some field goals on the board. You know what I mean? Just keep adding here, adding there. And ultimately, it gave them the spot to win the football game. Special teams, I'm not going to waste too much time on it. Bad. Ryan Williams back there. A lot of people asking me why is he back there? Well, he's a dynamic playmaker, and you can see his ability to make guys miss, you know, what he does with the ball in his hands. You're banking on he can set you up with a nice, you know, with good field position, with a nice return, maybe take it to the house. But unfortunately, ball security was an issue, and that was a critical error in this football game. Very costly mistake right there. We gave up a big return on punt. Again, that ended up resulting in some points as well, I believe. I think it was a field goal. And you just can't have those things on special teams. That's got to be better. And then the missed kick, people are asking about the guy jumping. The fact that he was within 1 yard of line of scrimmage, I'm pretty sure that's the rule. If you just go straight up, it's not a penalty. Regardless, the kick was whipped anyway. And I'm just telling you guys this right now, Talty needs to settle his ass down. You're yelling at the snapper, yes, the snap should have been lower, should have been better operation. But brother, we don't do that. We don't do that, man. That bothered me. So hopefully that gets cleaned up, because if I was on that team, I wouldn't have gone for that. And then just to kind of wrap things up, put a bow on this whole thing before we really get to you guys, get into the tape and all the other stuff, just want to circle back to the defense. 41 is playing some damn football. like a grown man, which I guess makes sense because he's like 24. I'm kidding. Not kidding, but you get the point. I'll show you guys on tape. I mean, this guy is running through people's faces. He's playing with physicality. That I see why, and I don't know if you guys notice this, but he's been taking the place of Deontay Lawson a lot of their nickel looks because there's only two inside backers on the field. And I'm seeing why. Part of the reason we're playing the run a lot better is that's how you play the run. You don't run around blocks. You don't, you know, sidestep blocks, try to juke button. No. This dude is running downhill and running through people's faces. And I watched him, like, if you go back and watch, like, the first quarter, a little bit in the second quarter, I mean, like, this dude had back-to-back-to-back plays just running through people's faces. Even if he's not making the tackle, he's setting it up for his guys just because of the physicality he's playing with, playing downhill. He's playing some damn good football. We talked about needing to capitalize on those turnovers. You just got to have them, man. Justin Jefferson had an opportunity. We showed cover three. Bray was down the box. Post-snap, he gets his drop. It's cover six. Justin Jefferson drops perfect. Reads Mateers. He's a hook curl player. He drops right in that window. I mean, the ball goes right through his hands. Got to be able to have those. Let's see what else we got here as we wrap things up. I hear the music. We held them to only one touchdown defensively despite being in some critical situations. So what does that mean? Well, clearly, defense continues to step up big. In those critical moments when their back's against the wall. So you can't complain about that. You got to tip your hat to Oklahoma and their offense. I mean, they did just enough. Mateer did make some nice throws when it mattered, some critical third down situations. He found those windows, made the pressure. He did a nice job in this game. I mean, I think he was like 13 of 20-something. I mean, he did not light up the stat sheet, but that's, he didn't really need him to. He's 15 of 23, 138 yards. He did what they needed him to do. We did what I thought we needed to do was manage him on the ground. I think he only had like some rushing yards. So defensively, I mean, we did everything we should have done. Outside of that one, he had that long touchdown run. I mean, defense did a really good job in this game. But at the end of the day, I think too many people were focusing on, oh, we had all these yards. We had all this. We had all that. All that, it means squat when you have your negative three in the turnover battle. And when you become one-dimensional and you keep doing the things, you're playing with fire like we talked about offensively, it's only a matter of time until it comes back to bite you. And that's exactly why I said I was concerned when we played a team that was a little bit more balanced. Now you guys get my point. So hats off to Oklahoma. They got the job done 2 years in a row. They come to Tuscaloosa. They upset us for our homecoming, 23-21. I know it was a frustrating game, but at the end of the day, with all that I just said, just remember this. As our first conference loss, our second loss on the year, everything is still in front of us. We have to be perfect to finish things out. But listen, that's I think what was it, Greg? I think Greg McElroy said this earlier. That's not new territory for us. Going to Auburn and everything being on the line, right? I mean, that's almost like expected. So while it is added pressure than what we needed or what was going to be the case, it is what it is, and that's what builds character. So I'm looking forward to it, and I know it'll be a challenge, but it'll be a good one at that. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. I want to hear you guys respond to that. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Plus, we got the chat here. I'm going to go back and read all that stuff. Plus, we got the tape. I know the coaches are speaking. We'll see what we have time to get to. Maybe we'll at least hear from Kalen DeBoer today, but maybe Ryan Grubb. I'm curious to see what he had to say. That might be interesting. But I definitely want to get to some tape. If there's anything you guys want us to pull up, we'll definitely do that. All that coming up right here on this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Quick.
Media personality, filmmaker, and author. She'll share her pearls of hope for thriving in life and leadership. Secure your spot today at WestAlabamaChamber.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
That we give that to them each and every time they come and visit us.
The sense of pride that we have in the quality, the consistency of our food carries over to everything we do in the stores. That's Taco Gas.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
It's good only at exit 45 of I-2059, where the excitement never stops and the odds are always in your favor. Bama Entertainment.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 71. Cool tonight with a clear sky, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 76 and 79. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch sport experts. All right, I'm trying to catch up on all these comments we have. Again, if you guys want to watch the show, we do it live on YouTube at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Again, completely free. Just ask you, just hit that like button, subscribe, all that good stuff. Now it's time to go to you guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that breakdown. It was very long-winded, but there's a lot to talk about, and we're going to continue to talk about it. But with you guys, 205-342-9904, plus we got some tape we'll get into here in a minute. But first, we've got Smitty up first on the phone lines. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
Oh, it's great, bro. Shoot, it's another day. We get to talk some football and sun's still up. So we're all good on this end. How's everything?
Good. Before I ask you about talk about this game, I need to ask you, how mad was your dad that Lenora Sellers took a sack on fourth down?
Man, I hadn't talked to him, but I can only imagine he was mad because I'm not even really rooting for him. But I was mad, just like, come on, bro. Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you just gotta know better, man. He's too good of a football player to not know better, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. But about this game, right? One, the people who don't like DeBoer because he didn't grow up in Mississippi are coming out in full force. But to me, it's a personnel execution issue with this team. And what happens is, you know this playing ball, even in the pros in college, that teams know your tendencies. They have you pegged. And I'll go back to, I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. That year they beat New Orleans in the playoffs, they won that last Super Bowl with Brady. They knew Drew Brees didn't have the arm to push it downfield, nor did he have home run hitters, so they sat on everything. The problem with Alabama, in my opinion, it's a talent and production issue, a lot of cases, right? The line, for what Oklahoma brought blitz-wise, I thought the line held up as good as they could. You'll give us something to that defense. But it was the running backs and poor pass blocking. You cannot let a slot corner bully a 240-pound man. To me, that shows the good Lord ways to give you 240 pounds if you're not going to use it. You'll give that to me. you know, jam. He likes the pass blocking, him and Daniel Hill, because there were holes in the run games, but the running backs got to cut up and hit the hole and see it. We don't have a home run threat in the run game that scares a defense. Even on like our receiver core, a home run threat, Ryan Williams hasn't produced all year. And I know people may say he's been hurt, but if you're in the game, we expect you to perform, just being real. That I know people get mad talking about, why was he in there punt return? Well, guys, they can put feedback there on you. Yeah.
Well, I was about to say, I mean, in turn, maybe not right now. I know Ryan's kind of going through a little bit of a slump right now. But in terms of, like, with the ball in his hands, I mean, it's evident. I mean, he gives you at least the opportunity, right? Yeah, explosive play, made guys miss, big return. I mean, go back to last year. He was returning kick slash punts last year and had a lot of big explosive. So that's why he's back there. The problem is, you know, people see things in the moment. They're just shouting at the TV or the coaches. But I understand why he's back there, right? I mean, let him see if he can make a play. But you just have to understand, or he needs to understand, if he's back there, while we want you to try to do what you do and make a play,
ball down.
First and foremost, you have to secure the football. Because, I mean, like, that was a critical moment. I mean, that led to the touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. That was the one that led to Mateo running it in. And it was unnecessary, right? You know, that's an unexplained turnover. That you know what I mean? In the football game, that's a big play. I'm not saying it was the only play, but you can't have those.
And here's the thing, because there's no magic. And like, I know people love blaming coaches for everything, but the players have to execute as well. Because there is no magical play call that makes your quarterback not hold the ball too long and five straight games have a strip fumble. That even that strip fumble today, they gave him just enough time, but he got to get rid of the ball.
You talking about the sack fumble that Ty had?
Yeah, that was because I know he got hurt.
Here's my thing. That one's tough, Smitty, for me, because I know DeBoer was on him about holding football too. But here's my thing. With that one, I calculated he had about 3 seconds exactly, and that's probably about the average time, you know, quarterbacks have to get the ball off, right? But I'll go ahead and jump the gun, but this was the problem with that play. So we did what I call Tennessee formation, those wide splits with stacks. Wide stack splits, right? The route concept that we ran, they're like delayed switch releases. So if you guys don't know, which I don't expect you to, maybe you do. Switch releases are when you're in a stack, you have those stacks, and guys, you know, number one ends up number two. Guys are basically crisscrossing their routes. Because what happens is defenders, if they're a man, it causes confusion. Even when you try to sort things out or come up with rules, normally when you get stacks and bunches, we always have checks that we go to. That way we say, okay, you get the final two, I get the final one. But it's still tough, especially when they do things like, for us, it's almost like a fake switch release. Like, we'll run behind the other guy, like one behind the other, and then end up not switching at all, and it creates confusion. And we've hit big plays with this against Vanderbilt, for sure. I remember that one being one off the top of my head. The problem was, on this play specifically, on that strip set, those are late developing routes. Matter of fact, three of the four receivers were vertical. The only one that technically wasn't was Quavis coming in on like a dig. They showed six guys in line of scrimmage. They had two rat players, which are hole players. So those guys were kind of creating a window. They weren't like directly under him, but you get what I'm saying? Like, he would have to throw through or over those guys. Nobody was open. At that point, he just had to say, I'm throwing it away. Like, unless he was going to try to take a one-on-one on one of those deep shots, but those guys did a nice job. They weren't really confused with the switch release on the other side either. But you get what I'm saying? And that one was just almost unfortunate, because it's like, it looked like he was just about to try to just make a throw, but he waited just like a half second too late. And Michael Carroll, unfortunately, got beat by a damn good move by Wayne or Wine, however you pronounce that dude's name. I mean, cross-chopped to perfection. And that was all she wrote, man.
Yeah, I'll say this real quick also. Ty also has to hit the throws that's available, because that same throw to Jeremy that he missed today, I mean, on Saturday, was the same one he missed against South Carolina that would have been a touchdown. Because you have to make those throws when it's there as well. I know you're getting pressured, but when the pressure ain't, when you got a clean pocket, you have to take advantage. And I think, and one thing about Mateer, I said that he wasn't going to do much. I said Alabama would have to help them out. Mateer Saturday reminded me of the guy in the group project who got an A who didn't contribute much at all. Just being real.
Come on, hey, hold on. Smitty, you can't do him like that. Listen, I know he didn't really. He didn't do a whole bunch, but he did have some big throws and some moments where, in terms of, you know, coming up with, there's like later in the third quarter, maybe, and that guy, third and long. I know what you're saying, though. I mean, he didn't do a whole
lot. Yeah, he didn't have to win.
He did just enough, though.
And the thing is with this team, right, I think, because like I said, execution coaching, right, if he had a home run hitter, teams could respect that. Because the running backs, at the end of the day, you have to make people miss sometimes. And I think that, like, with this team, one, shout out to his defense, because they take a lot of crud for a year and a couple of games. and they have stepped up and kept this team in the games. And I think if the offense, they just have to find something, a home run hit or some way. If you got to put the young running back in there, so be it. If you got to look at one of these other receivers who can stretch the field, so be it. But it's also incumbent on Wilkin Formby not whiffing on that block for that pick six. And it's also incumbent on Ty hitting these people when they're there. But the season ain't over. I think we'll beat Auburn. We'll be in the playoff, and we'll see what happens. But you have a good one, Christian.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you, Smitty. Good deal. Good stuff. All right, we got to hit top of our break. We come back. We'll definitely keep on talking about this, talking with you guys. We got one more caller right now. We'll get to them. And then we'll try to squeeze in at least one or two of these press conferences. I'm really curious what definitely want to hear from Ryan Grubb and maybe Kalen DeBoer if we have plenty of time. We'll do that right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
A change in New York, according to Diana Russini. The New York Jets are making a quarterback change. Tyrod Taylor is now in line to start against Baltimore in Week 12 in place of Justin Fields, who's been the starter up until this point. Jets lost to the Patriots 27-14 on Sunday. Bad injury news for the Falcons. Wide receiver Drake London suffered a PCL sprain and is out for the coming week, potentially more time. Quarterback Michael Penix Jr. has a bone bruise. He's out this coming week. An injury could be potentially season-ending, but they are seeking a second opinion. Eagles tackle Lane Johnson suffered a Lisfranc injury during Sunday Night Football against the Lions. Not expected to be season-ending. Could be heading to the injured reserve. Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers still being evaluated on Monday following a fracture in his left wrist. He's undergoing tests to see if he can grip a football. He's not yet been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Bears.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Archer Support Experts, man. Hour number one in the books, and we've been going at length about this breakdown again. Alabama falls 23-21 Oklahoma. It's bull, the homecoming. We all know what happened Saturday. Now we're just breaking it down. But again, let's talk everybody off the ledge. If you're just tuning in, we gave a big breakdown, and yes, it's an honest breakdown. We talk about the good, which there's a little bit of good in this game, really the defense. A lot of bad, and there definitely was some ugly. But the good news is all our goals are still attainable. Alabama still can go play an SEC championship game, which they pretty much, if you went out, I mean, you're expected to still make the playoffs, still have everything in front of you. So where our feet are, we're focusing on that. And we'll turn our attention to this next game, but we're going to spend today and probably a little bit tomorrow too, breaking down what needs to change for Alabama to get to where they want to go. Even though it's still in front of us, we've got some changes that we need to make, and we'll keep discussing that with you guys. I'm hearing that we've got some at messages, so let me go ahead and check this out. I have one here from Tia. I believe we have, and I was from last week. We've got one from Tia right here. We'll do this before we go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Tia says, I posted one clip and one stat, and the Twitter nerds ran wild. These are hard words, not my words. Ran wild with their unsolicited takes. So let me ask you, Christian, just based off actually playing football, nothing else. One, Daniel Hill in that clip where the cornerback shoved him backwards. How are people seriously defending that with angles and anyone gets pushed around with an 8-yard head start? Two, excuse me, I posted UA.com stats showing the offense actually averaged more points per game last year than this year. People keep saying tougher schedule this season. I'm not buying it. So let's start with the first point. People defending Daniel Hill. Number one, football plays happen. And I know I tweeted and I said, you know, look, I think Daniel Hill is too big to be letting a cornerback bully him like that. And I do believe that. However, I also know anything can happen. Lower man can win. Sometimes a guy gets underneath your pads, catches you off guard, whatever. I understand that part. Like, I'm not unrealistic. I'm not just going to blast somebody. However, when you're back and you're in pass pro, like, you practice these things. It's not like you know what I mean? Like, especially a team like this, like, you know you're facing heat. Like, you're expecting, like, you're probably going to have to take on you might have a linebacker just screaming, you know, straight through the hole, and you have to just take him on. You have to brace for that. So it's hard for me to defend it in that aspect. Like, oh, well, because this is not one of, like, if it was a linebacker just blitzing straight through the A-gap and their protection, they slide to the left, and that means you're taking on an open A-gap head on, Mike backer running full speed at you. Okay, because he's about the same size as you. Sure, he's got that, you know, speed coming at you. You got a brace, but it's no different. It's like, I mean, like, I played kick return. You have to bring it to them, right? If you don't want to get put on your ass, you have to go put it on them, right? Like, that's the whole mindset behind it. These backs are catchy. If you go and watch, like, the best backs in pass pro, the most physical ones, it don't look like they're blocking. It looks like they're hunting. They see a defender, they go get defender. They beat the guy to the spot because they know if I sit here and catch, I'm really going to take it. And it's a hard concept. It's easier said than done, because even with me on kick return, I told y'all this story. Like, on kick return, I used to be catching stuff because when you see guys running 30 yards downfield full speed and you're backing up initially, are you damn right? Like, you're like, who wants to sit there and go take a dude head on like that? Like, it's a head on collision. But then you learn, and that's what Ruben taught me this. Ironically, you go run full speed at them, you think, oh man, it's going to be even more of a crazy collision, whatever. You end up they end up being on like the receiving front. They're now nervous. They don't want that. And then you're over there knocking them out. And so when you're 245 pounds like he is, man, if I'm him and I see a cornerback, man, I'm going and taking his head off. I just saw a clip of, I think it was Maurice Jones-Drew. It was just randomly on Instagram, and I was going to, like, screen record it just to show you guys. Like, bro, those backs, like Jam, when he took that one guy, I think it was quarterback design run with Jalen Milroe last year, but he met that Georgia defender that was coming on a blitz. Like, it's not easy to do, but it's like Kirby Smart was talking about, that physicality, man. You got to have that. And it's just tough when you're watching guys 245 pounds. It should be easier for him to do that, because he should be confident knowing how big and strong he is. So I don't agree with the whole, like, well, the angles thing. Like, yes, technically, if he doesn't see a guy and the guy almost not necessarily blindsides him, but catch him, and he doesn't have a base, like, yes, I get he might lose that battle, but he still should be able to brace. I mean, 180 and 245, that's just, I mean, all the matchups I've been a part of, like, that's how I view it. Then to your other point, us having more points per game, I agree. I mean, it's hard to really compare. Sometimes it is really apples to oranges because, again, different personnel and opponents and whatnot. However, I think to your point, because I saw what you tweeted, and I think it looked like the defenses, or you mentioned some of the defenses being rated right around the same thing. So I definitely would consider that as well. But I think, you know, our style of play is a little bit different. This year we have long, sustainable drives. Last year we were really trying to hit a lot of home run things, deep shots with Milrow, a lot of explosive running plays with Milrow. But I think outside of all that, I think the biggest thing, if you look at last year and this year, I think the biggest thing that I notice is everything that we said were problems last year and why those came up and caused issues, it's very similar to right now. You know what I mean? And that's why we mentioned that with Milrow. Like, I thought he caught way too much flack. I'm not, again, I know he definitely deserved a lot of criticism, you know, for when he did fall short, right? I never did what a lot of these fans I see do and, like, ridicule people. I mean, because that's ridiculous. But, like, yeah, I would admit, just like we do, we have honesty here. Like, if he played bad and missed throws, held the ball too long, was inaccurate, we said all that. But also acknowledged, you know, he didn't really have a, you know, a great running game to go with it. He was the running game. Like, and I had told people that you just try to tell me, like, oh, why does he hold the ball? Or why is he keeping the ball on these zone reads? I'm like, well, that's the play design because he's their best option. And I think now people are finally seeing what we've been talking about on this show because we understand that we played the game. We know. But I think sometimes people just don't want to hear that until they finally have no choice but to believe you. And only reason I bring that up, and I'm not trying to get into that whole thing, but because I think Ty, unfortunately, has experienced some of that too. Way too much pressure on his shoulders, knowing that we are one-dimensional. There is not a running game. And unfortunately, the offensive line is just, it's like this. You know, they're relatively clean and pass pro, but the backs aren't, you know, great. And it just feels like he has to do a lot more than he probably should. So, I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, if you put Ty on a team, like one of the teams that I played with that had running ability, oh, man, shoot. Boy, Ty would be even better. But unfortunately, right now, when you're one of the worst rushing teams in the conference and you're asking the guy to throw 40 times a game, there's only so much Duke can do. You know, even as good as the receivers he has is, I mean, it's tough, man. So, a really good question. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Franny. Franny, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, your point you just made about Ty putting more pressure on himself, when you don't run the ball as well as you think you should, then it falls back to the quarterback. The Bills have the same issue when James Cook doesn't run the ball. Then Josh Allen has to do everything, and then when that happens, you make more mistakes. But your point with the turnover margin, if you're minus three – in the NFL, you have a 10% chance of winning the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is in college, but it's about that number, I would bet.
Yeah, no, it's definitely about that because Coach Saban used to put it on the screen for us every Monday after a game. And I don't remember exactly, but I know it was around like the 10 to 15% mark. So you're 100% right. I mean, you're negative three in the turnover battle. I mean, it's almost a miracle if you win a football game.
And here's the thing. All those deficiencies about the running backs not blocking is true. But if you don't turn the ball over, Alabama wins because they only lost by two points.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, the turnovers were, and that's what we said earlier. I mean, that's the main story here, right? It is the turnovers without a doubt. I'm just pointing to the other factors that also were involved, right? Because it's not like they were just random turnovers. That's why I give credit to Oklahoma's defense. I mean, they also played a role in those turnovers, a lot of a role. I think a lot of people are kind of forgetting that. I mean, you're going against a really good defense, too. So that's why I said I think some people are kind of jumping the gun a little too much. Like, wow, yes, these are concerns, and we've been talking about them just even before this game. I think people have to remember, I mean, the team we just faced, I mean, that was one of the best defenses in the country, and they're going to do their part to force some of those issues or at least expose some of your weaknesses. And I think that's what Oklahoma did a good job with.
Right. Now, the question going forward for me, assuming we beat Eastern Illinois, which we should, you have to go into Auburn, which that's very hostile territory, as you know. Yeah. You win both of those games, you might have to win the SEC championship if you're in it to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make. Here's my thing. I feel like if they punish a team for losing that conference championship, I mean, I feel like all hell would break loose. I don't think that's fair. I understand what you're saying. You do run that risk just because it does add another loss to your resume. But going off of what they've done in the past, I still think Alabama makes it. But you're right. It technically is a possibility, so to speak. So, but I'm one of the believers that I'm all for. I mean, championship is a championship. I mean, if we get a chance to play in the SEC championship, man, I want to win it. And I want to play in it. And I want to bring back a trophy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's where that Florida State loss really hems you in. But I guess the good news is you control your own fate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're still, and I mean, for those that like numbers, man, I think 90-some percent odds we still make the college football playoffs. So again, I think, you know, people just, you can be frustrated. We lost a game. We haven't lost a home game in a while. I totally get it. But I think people just also have to understand the other side of it is it was a really good football team with a really good defense. We knew that going into it. We knew we had struggled a little bit. We just got to get back on track. Everything's still in front of us. And let's play our best football moving forward. That's all we can do.
Yeah, and unlike the Texas game that we lost a couple of years ago, we got whipped in that game.
Was it 2023?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. That was an interesting time, though. We didn't have, still were going through, a quarterback battle and that. Yeah, and that team also had their fair share of issues. I mean, a lot of it falls back on, offensively, man. We just haven't really – we've had several holes, at least somewhere on our roster offensively for the past few years for whatever reason. Whether it was receiver room was light a couple of years ago, offensive line was inconsistent. I mean, we haven't run the ball great in several years, man. Franny, we got to figure something out, and hopefully
let me ask you something. When you have offensive line problems like we seem to be having, could we incorporate screen passes a little more?
Yeah, I think screen game definitely helps. It really just depends on if you're saying just as extensions for the running game. And plus, if you're struggling with pass pro, screen game is a great way to counter a good pass rush. Yeah, screen game is good. And I will say Ryan Grubb does a nice job with our screen game, right? You see tight end delay screens, you see tunnels, bubbles. We run a whole bunch of different, types of screens. So with that said, I mean, they're trying to incorporate it, but at the same time, as much as we run it, there's only so much you can do, until, teams start picking up on the screen game, which they will. Then you have to find ways to get back to just running the football, lining up mano-a-mano and find a way to pick up some yardage there. The good news is we haven't abandoned that yet. We're still trying.
The other thing, when you're in Auburn with the noise, you may have to use a silent count and make things as simple as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to make sure whatever the cadence is well communicated and everybody's on the same page. Because the last thing you want is going on the road in an environment like that and, having to worry about false starts and penalties, man, which we've been good on this year, which is, I need to tip your hat to the offense and the team in general. Been a lot more disciplined in that category. Fran, we got to hit this time out, but really good stuff, man. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Take care. We got to hit a time out. We come back. We keep on rolling. I think we got one more call. I know I want to get to these press conferences if we can, so we'll try to do that. We'll try to squeeze in Pat real quick, and then we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, tied on 0.9.
Send auto and save with Progressive, and protect the things that make sense to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers not available in all states or situations covered subject to policy terms and conditions.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at
at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 71. Cool tonight with a clear sky, the low 49. Very mild tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 76 and 79. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. I just pulled up on the stream real quick. I just wanted to finish my point because people are still talking about it on X. But to be clear, it's about the play, and people probably missed this because it probably just went over. Like, it looked like it's an incomplete pass in the end zone. But when I was watching tape, I didn't see the matchup when I was watching the game initially, but I saw it, and I was like, man, this is a good call. And the reason I'm bringing this up, too, is because when somebody asked me on my post-game show, is it scheme? Is it execution? This is an example of this is not the scheme. The scheme is A+. Execution is will go C-D. And the reason why is, I talked about it earlier, it starts with Jeremy Bernard lined up in the backfield. You know, if he's in that position, in that spot, more than likely it's going to be a linebacker in coverage. Guys, football is about matchups at the end of the day. Who do you think is going to win that battle, right? Jeremy Bernard with a linebacker on, come on. Like, that's literally what you want. So pre-snap, that should be the expectation. But even better, the matchup is even better than we think. He ends up getting a defensive end, peeling him. When I say peel, that means he takes him out of the backfield. So he's lined up with a defensive end, 44, is responsible in man coverage on Jeremy Bernard. If I told you that Jeremy Bernard was going to have a defensive end covering him in the red zone area, like the 10-yard going in, I think we all would probably feel safe betting about our whole savings account that it should be a touchdown. And you would probably be right. In this case, we're not, because instead, Ty decides to try to force it to Horton. And the reason I'm saying he's forcing it, while yes, it looks like, yeah, is there a window where he can Horton catch that and it's a great place, a touchdown? That looks like one of those NFL throws, because it is hard to squeeze these throws in. That does look good. Sure, if he makes the play. However, the real, like, coaching perspective, not like the, oh, we're generating numbers perspective. The coaching perspective tells you all day, every day, you throw the ball right. You take what the defense gives you. They gave you the matchup that you wanted. There's a reason Jeremy Bernard was in the backfield. That was the matchup we wanted. But instead, we try to force it. And while, yes, if you look at it from this angle, it looks like, oh, well, Horton, he slows down. Let me ask you, why do you think he's slowing down? He's got a corner glued to his hip. He's literally covered up, completely covered up. So even if you think he's going to squeeze that ball in there and catch it, there's a good chance that corner is going to get a pass break up there. You've got a linebacker floating here who's probably going to go deliver a tough blow right here. And if I had to put money on it, Horton slows down for both of those reasons that I just mentioned. He probably knows, number one, I got somebody on me. He's not expecting to get the ball. He sees that linebacker staring at him as soon as the ball is thrown. He don't want to take that hit, just like he didn't want to take the hit earlier on the slant that went for a pick six. And you got Bernard right here. And yes, I know people are like, oh, well, Levin would hit Bernard. If you have Bernard, as soon as he catches this, you guys, knowing Bernard, don't think this guy can just make him miss and fall into the end zone. I'm telling you, he probably does. Good news is we end up scoring. And I'm not harping on this play because I'm trying to be critical of Ty or anything. What I'm explaining to you guys, these are the things that the coaches are watching in the meeting rooms and going back and saying, we have to do this better. So just because you got some page on Twitter that comes up and generates numbers, but they did not play, don't listen to that, because I'm telling you what his coaches are telling them. That is where you go with the football. Your best receiver is lined up with the defensive end. That's the end of the conversation. I'm not discussing it anymore. Good news is we score. And again, no knock on Ty, no big deal. Again, if he catches that ball, everybody's saying how perfect of a throw that was. The problem is we don't,
And we should have just taken that right there. And if you really want to get even further, two or three plays later is when we throw a pick. But luckily that comes back. So that's why we're harping on these little details. That's why, if you wonder. So we're just breaking down the game. That's all it is. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Pat up next. Pat, welcome in.
Hey, man.
What's up, Pat?
I'm good, man. I don't want to talk about the football game. I do have one defensive question for you, though. That was a play where there was nobody. I was watching the game from the end zone so I could see it well. There was nobody in front of Ty but a linebacker that just, I mean, zeroed in on him. A linebacker, maybe it could have been a safety, I don't know. But anyway, nearly killed him as he got rid of the ball. They all thought he was almost going to stall intentional grounding. But, I mean, we threw the ball in the vicinity of a receiver. What happened on that play that there was nobody to protect Ty?
Are you talking about the screen where he threw it in the ground?
No, he threw it out. This one was the one he threw the ball out probably 25, 30 yards downfield. But there was nobody. I mean, the guy came and hit him as soon as he released the ball. He was in the middle of it. There was nobody. There was a player in front of him and nobody else. Nobody protecting him at all. I mean, it could have been that the call was empty. But why was that deal there where there was zero protection for him? I mean, because, I mean, he just had by the time he received the ball, the guy was on top of him.
Yeah, I'm not too sure exactly what play. I'm trying to find out. I was thinking maybe it would have been right before the half. I feel like we might have had a play
Yeah. It was later on in the game. And I was just curious. I mean, you being a defensive guy, that what had happened on that particular deal. But
what I want to talk about is
we have left ourself in a situation where we can have zero foul-ups. And you know that Marie Laveau, that voodoo witch, lives down in Louisiana, and she wears a crimson-colored A on her witch's hat. But her sister, Clarette Laveau, lives in a coven on Wire Road. Do you understand that, right?
I have no idea who these people are, if I'm being completely honest with you.
I said Clarette Laveau. I'm making a joke about that voodoo witch that lives down in Auburn on Wire Road. You know, Wire Road's the main road going into Auburn, Alabama. And I'm just talking about strange things happening in Auburn, Alabama. And we've got to go down there. We are in an absolutely must-win situation. We got to win this game this weekend. I mean, I don't give them any due, but I mean, I think that's enough said about this game this weekend. But Auburn, we win the Auburn game, everything's gravy. And so we have a caller that lives to say everything's gravy. And we're Super Joe, everything will be gravy. We beat Auburn, everything's gravy, you know?
Yeah, and everything's in front of us, but I think now you see why I was, because you thought I was talking about their defense ad nauseum. I think you see why I was complimenting their defense last week.
No. I was just messing you with something else to say, man, when I said that. You're the defensive guru and the best person that we have to talk about defense.
That's a little bit of a stretch now. That's a little bit of a stretch.
Look, I'm laying the smoke on your thick, man. I'm telling you, I ain't kidding you. But seriously, we've left ourselves zero room for mistakes. Because Auburn now knows that they can take and totally submarine our season, and it would make their day. I mean, they would have a fabulous Christmas if they could submarine our season. Would they not?
Yeah, no, they would. You already know they want to do that, so we'll have to make sure we're ready for it. But the good news is that's where
I think that Cotton Pick and Auburn people, I thought this was going to be an easy ticket down there, that they were going to, they saw already started. You don't see near as much Auburn stuff hanging around Tuscaloosa as what you normally do. They've already put all their crap up. You don't see it on the trucks and cars and all that mess. But they're going to they're going to be out in full force. I look for the Auburn ticket to be a cotton picking hard ticket down in Auburn, Alabama. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenge. They got a really good defense. You already know what that stadium and that environment brings, but I'm excited for it, man. Look, that means it's going to be a good Iron Bowl. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the game, but we're used to that. That's typical for us. And now it goes for the first time down to Jordan-Hare, so.
Yeah, but we've made our pressure on ourselves. We've done this to ourselves by losing to Oklahoma. We've doubled up. We doubled them up, everything but the score. Oh, my goodness. Right. Anyway, hey, such is life. That's just a joke from there. I was just hoping that you could tell me about that one play where it almost looked like Ty was going to have to take a grounding call when he got rid of that ball because the ref went and put his foot right where Ty was standing when they were making the decision.
Yeah, I'm going to look into it. I got the tape pulled up. I'll try to find it for you, Pat. Okay. Now I'll speak on it.
Good day, my baby. Appreciate it.
Yes,
y'all
sir.
Have a blessed day. Hey, your dad, I said hello.
Will do. Thank you, sir. All right, good deal. We got to hit a timeout when we come back.
One bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we need to get to these press conferences, at least one. I think Bryce on the lines. Let's get Bryce on here for a few minutes, then we're going to get to this press conference. Bryce, welcome in.
Hey, Kristen, it's real simple.
What's up, man?
We could make all the excuses. Oklahoma made the plays that they need to make to win the game. And Brett Venables can say something that no other good coach can say. He's beat Kalen DeBoer twice. And a lot of other ones haven't, like Kirby Smart and the guy from Oregon and Steve Sarkisian. You know, that's a lot of great coaches. But unfortunately, they made the plays. We can sugarcoat it, make all kind of excuses. And I don't know who in the world thought it would be a good idea to play Oklahoma on homecoming. That was a boneheaded. Because why don't you just give them bulletin board material right there? And we can blame it anyway. It's the team thing. You lose as a team, and you win as a team. We've had two ugly losses. I mean, ugly wins. Now, unfortunately, we got an ugly loss. It was ugly.
Yeah, but the first week was much more ugly, in my opinion. But I would say this though: we got to remember Oklahoma was 11th ranked team. They now are a top 10 football team. They're at number 8, I believe. And again, the reason I harped on their defense last week, and while I thought this was a concern, was because they are a good team, and we can't forget that. As bad as we play, we can't forget they're a good football team. So a loss to the number 8 ranked Oklahoma Sooners, I'll be honest with you, while it frustrates us and we feel a way about it, in the eyes of people out there, yes, we played bad and we played sloppy, but on paper, having a loss to the number 8 team in the country, I don't think is that bad, personally. And only losing by 2 points at that, given how bad we played.
Well, it's all setting up, you know, which we got to make it hard on ourselves. We got to go down there and beat like we said, we got to go to Voodoo City down at Auburn, Alabama, and anything can happen. We got to play our best game down there to win. And it's fortunately for A&M, they did win Saturday, although I think it worked out better for us. So if we match up against them in the SEC championship and beat an undefeated team, we could get a bye, you know, mm-hmm. the way it shakes out if we do that. So it's such a beautiful, but I would, you know.
Yeah, no.
The way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of situations and scenarios. My thing is I go off of what I was taught when I was a player, man. Control what you can control. Let everything fall into place. And these guys, all they need to worry about right now is Eastern Illinois playing their best game yet, getting back into rhythm offensively, cleaning up special teams, going out there, imposing their will, not playing to the ability of their opponent, and then take care of the next mission. And then, you know, where everything lands, you take care of it then. But right now, we just got to focus on ourselves. I think that's the biggest thing. I know all the fans were talking about Auburn because we understand. But for them, that's what I want them to do. Worry about Eastern Illinois and being the best player and football team you can be.
The defense has been keeping in games, and they kept us in that game. All we needed to do is make one or two plays, and it could have been a win. You know?
Yeah.
The special teams is, man, we got to work on special teams. It killed us.
In my opinion, it was bad.
It didn't help us win the game.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It definitely fumbled and missed.
You give up 17 points and let the on you not executing, it's hard to win when you turn the ball over that many times. And there were so many plays that should have been interceptions that wasn't. But, hey, for some reason, it wasn't in the cards for us to win the game. Now we got to dust ourselves off, get back up, get focused, win two games, and see what happens. I mean, that's all we can say.
Because, that's right.
I know my heart was mixed emotion. It didn't kill me that A&M won the game, but it wouldn't have hurt me if South Carolina would have won. But now I sit back and look at it. Since we lost, it's probably better for us to set up and them not win because we can beat an undefeated team and might get a bye, you know.
Like I said, we'll have to see, and we'll know a little bit more too on where the committee's at with everything after this game tomorrow with the rankings that will be unveiled. Hey Bryce, we got to run out of time. We need to
one more call. I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Always good to hear from you, brother. All right, let's do Coach West real quick. Let's get him on. Coach, welcome in.
How you doing?
What's up, Coach West?
I'm doing good. It's been a while.
Man, it's been a minute, man. How's everything?
You know, just been trying to hang in here, watching our Tide and stuff. But it's been tough. It's been tough, but, I mean, you know, we're hanging in there. My biggest concern is, I mean, I just like to get to 4 yards of carry, and I'd be pretty happy.
I'm with you. Yeah, I just think with this team, man, I mean, I look at the guys we've got. I mean, like, Dewberry's a physical guy. Parker Brailsford is a really talented center. I know they're experimenting with Formby at guard, but, I mean, you also still got Jaden Robbins. He's shown at times. He's just very inconsistent to get some push. Caden Proctor's, you know, a man amongst boys. I just don't understand why we can't just consistently drive guys off the football, secure our blocks, and just have our backs hit the hole and get those 4, you know, yards of carry like you're talking about. It's hard for me to understand that.
We don't have like we had Booker. Like, we don't have nobody that's mean, that's nasty. That is the thing that I don't sit back and see, you know. And it's like I sit back and I worry the whole time that we have a lot of gimmick plays. I mean, and they work, you know, and we get a few yards, but it's like, man, like, how far can we go with it? And you know, Simpson, I like the kid. I mean, he does well. I was like, but I mean, he can only take us so far. Like, you know, he didn't have a great game. But I mean, man, when you're on your toes all the time, looking around, expecting to get hit, what can you do? And the kid still performs well, because me personally, I was thinking he wins that game, he might still right on into the Heisman. But I mean, I think he still got a shot at it.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm with you. I mean, I think the recent odds, he dropped a couple spots, which I'm sure he's not concerned with that. He just wants to win football games. But you're right. I mean, I think he probably caught a little bit more flack than he probably should have. I know it wasn't his best game. He missed some stuff. I mean, we've talked about it. Needs to do some stuff better. But the just like you mentioned, like I was saying earlier, man, like when you have all that pressure on you, you're asked to make all these different plays. I mean, guys are human. I mean, turn on, you know, the NFL games. I mean, Pat Mahomes, best quarterback in the league. I mean, he throws picks, which Ty hadn't even done a whole bunch of that. He makes bad throws. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I think sometimes, man, I hate to say it, but I think our fan base is just like, we have expectations that are so high where it's like, you got to remember, bro, like, quarterback's not going to make every single throw. He's going to have some moments, and he's going to have a game or two. And the fact that this was really one of maybe two games, I know he's, you know, I guess maybe two or three, you can count South Carolina, he's off a little bit too, and even LSU at times. But to me, I think it just shows that he's human, man. I mean, he's still a really good quarterback. I think he just needs a little bit more help from the guys around him.
I think, you know, a lot of the fans have been around as long as I have, you know, and we have to sit back and realize, you know, when it comes to defense, that 15, 16, we have to let that go. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't had that kind of defense in a while. I mean, I think the guys are doing well. Like, I'm glad to see that we've been able to rush the ball. I mean, put pressure on the quarterbacks. I mean, I've been pleased with that because we haven't had that elite pass rushing in a while, but now it's starting to come together. You know, our cornerbacks are doing well. It's just now the three and out. We got to be able to, you know, control that. Or, you know, we have a lot on offense, a lot of third and long. But it's just little things that we just got to tweak, you know. And it's like, I mean, you know, I guess we're hanging in there, you know. I mean, and that's all we can do. And the crazy part is, I mean, you know, we got two losses. I mean, it's not like, you know, we're so used to just dominating.
Running the table, We've got two losses and everything's still in front of us. But you would think we're a four-loss team right now. Like, everybody, I mean, again, we lost the game by 2 points as bad as we played. Like, I'm with you, man. It's all about perspective and just understanding the reality of the situation. Yeah. Now, you know, we do need to get better. I'm not going to deny that. We need to fix these things, like you just mentioned. But we still got everything in front of us. And we just got to keep chopping at the bit, man.
Yeah, and I was telling my brother, man, like, listen, I said every year I worry about Auburn. I don't care how bad they are. It's just a rivalry that always, you just never know. I mean, we've been in overtime with these guys the last few years. I mean, may have had a better team, but it's just what we deal with. You know, I mean, every time we play them, I said, this is a true rivalry, the best rivalry in all football, in all sports, baby, you know?
100%. Hey, well, we know one thing. It's going to be a damn good game now. I mean, because you know they're going to have extra motivation knowing that we need this game. So if you like good nail-biting games, I know it might stretch you out, but sounds like it's going to be one of those types of Iron Bowls. So I like good football, man.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. I like a challenge. I like a good challenge, and I think we'll be ready. We got a week to kind of tune up this game, and we should be good.
Yeah, Eastern Illinois can be a setup game. We can't go in there, you know, slacking.
No, 100%.
We go in, do what we have to, you know, do what we have to do there, move forward, you know, and, you know, I'm just kind of, I mean, I didn't think we'd be as good as we are. We'd do as well as we did, you know what I mean, considering. I was like, I thought it was going to be even rougher than what it is, but I mean, we have a lot of good stuff, and maybe these next two weeks can be the time where it just starts to come together. And we come together at the right time, which would be perfect, right on into the playoff. And that's what I'm hoping. Yeah. That's the hope I have.
That's what we need. That would be ideal. And Coach West, we appreciate you, man. Good to hear from you. I know it's been a minute, man.
Yeah. All right, man. You be safe.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Take care. Good deal. All right. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we're going to listen. We're going to close things out on a press conference. We're going to probably do we'll do Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb. I'll have to make a decision. We'll find out which one we go with when we come back. Braylon Miller's Edge, Title 1.9, 12.
Where? Shopping local means supporting local schools and charities.
Shopping local means a relationship. Shop Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, downtown Tuscaloosa.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Action, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremvaya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremvaya.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
We'll be right back.
this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. We're going to hear from Ryan Grubb. I'm just curious. We've been talking a lot about the offense. Obviously, they were probably the most disappointing part of Saturday. So, well, outside of special teams, let's hear from Ryan Grubb at the podium today.
Yeah, Coach, what's your message to Tyson about the fumbles? Maybe that guy employed those before.
Yeah, same as normal. A couple of them came up there. Obviously, you know, for Ty, take care of the ball in the back end of the pocket, two-handed monster. And, you know, the message all week that Ty, you know, knows and is frustrated about is kind of get the ball out of his hand. And then understanding when you're back, gets chewed up. What's going on with the route concept and where to put the ball. And Ty knows that. He beat himself up more than anybody.
Let's go right in front here, Nick.
Yeah, what are the coaching points to running backs about pass pro after just what they put on tape in this game?
Yep, there was two reps there. Jam is normally a really dependable guy, and it doesn't come down to anything but, you know, balance and hand placement. And Jam just kind of got his weight out over his toes and leaned on one, and Daniel got his weight back and saw a guy out leveraged him too quickly. And normally those guys are pretty darn solid in that. So I think, you know, what we told the guys was making sure.
Someone take some of my candles.
Sorry, quick commercial break, real quick. And we're back.
Positions during the week. Are we getting enough one-on-one reps with the, you know, your true one linebackers at pass rush? And if we're not doing enough of that for the guys, we got to supplement it. Because when you look at something happening on film, and it's not what you know your guys are capable of, it's more.
All right, looks like we're having some trouble with this. About, there we go.
You know, the message we try to give to our guys is like, what are we not giving you enough of in practice? Not, you know, get to the film and, you know, MF the guys for stuff they didn't do. You know, so we want to fix the problem. And I know our defense, you know, they'll want to do more one-on-ones if that's what we want. So we got to do a better job with that, I think.
Jump to the left side, front row, Colin.
Hey, Ryan, can you take me through kind of what your game plan or what your approach was on that final 7-minute drive there against Oklahoma? Kind of what was it, you know, just moving out of the field periodically, setting up field goal, or kind of what was kind of playing?
The play was score. 7 minutes, 2 timeouts, plenty of time. And even the end of the game, I know there was, you know, maybe some people wondered about that, but there's still a minute 30 plus left. You know, we just ran out of downs. One timeout left, and we, you know, really had to go 50 some yards or so somewhere in there that we had to get down the field to score. And for us, you know, we didn't feel like that was an issue at all. We do that all the time. So, you know, we're just trying to make sure we stay on the field. That was the biggest part. And, you know, ultimately that was the problem. We didn't convert. We ended up having a sack that put us way behind the sticks, which really made things complicated there at the end. And so just trying to keep the ball moving forward against a defense that was pretty good at putting you in negative yardage situations. So I just didn't want to go up the ball to go backwards at any point and then set up the shot plays, which I thought we had a good opportunity at a couple at the end. And, you know, we just obviously didn't connect.
Stand on the left side, we'll go to Will next.
Coach, what can you say about the job that Daniel Hill has done over the last few weeks in his performance and the game on Saturday as he's continued to carve out a larger role for himself?
Yeah, he's growing. You know, everything you want for young players. I think Daniel's, you know, all the guys are competing for, you know, playing time. That's the most valuable thing to them is getting on the field and show that they can help the team. And, you know, for Daniel, he's certainly done that. He wasn't perfect. Just like any player, he's working to try to get better at things. But, you know, I think he's shown the capability of being, you know, the guy that can get those tough yards.
Go to Emily Grace, right.
Coach, after having a chance to watch the film, what is the biggest takeaway, biggest point of emphasis going forward this week for you?
Yeah, it's, you know, I hate saying it or even bringing it up, but it's turnovers. And, you know, for us, the disappointing part was we always think we prep our guys for that. We always think that we practice that. And to this point in the season, it's been certainly a strong point for us. We have had turnovers, but we've never had more than one in a game. And so when you have critical turnovers and points that come off the turnovers, and put your defense in tough positions like that. You know, those are crushing blows in a tight football game. So certainly that's a point of emphasis is, you know, decision making with the ball. How do we take care of when it is in our hands? So that's the whole thing. Because we felt like, you know, you take care of the ball, we win the game. And it was really that simple. They beat us in two categories, you know, points and turnovers. And those are always the most important. So for our guys, they know that. They know the lesson that was learned there. And we'll certainly put even more emphasis moving forward in practice.
All right, so there's a little bit more to that interview, but we unfortunately don't have enough time to get there. So we will save that for tomorrow. We will also listen to head coach Kalen DeBoer and continue talking about a little bit about this game. If there are some more questions, comments, or concerns, plus we'll start turning our attention and we'll anticipate the upcoming playoff rankings tomorrow as well. Appreciate everybody, Reed and Chase behind the glass, all our listeners, Tide 100.9, all our listeners here on YouTube, all the new folks coming from our X account. Make sure you guys check that out as well at The Miller's Edge and over on Facebook where we stream as well. This has been The Miller's Edge presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. We look forward to doing it with you guys again tomorrow on a Talking Tuesday edition right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.